Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
You're listening to Retaking Elysium, a Mars Consortium story, written and read by M. Darusha Wame. Chapter 12. No. He wasn't nasty about it, but he was insistent. Lisa Marie gave him the go-on gesture and the older guy nodded. We have to stop meeting in public, and the bar is a public place. Even if every single person in this joint is in with us, it's still run by the consortium. It's not safe here. But you just said all that out loud here in a consortium bar, the young East Asian woman next to him said in an accusing tone. If they've been listening all along, it's already too late. We'd have been rumbled a long time ago, Lisa Marie said. I think Smith is trying to make sure we minimize the likelihood of that happening in the future. That, and getting away from their ears in case we're wrong, and they are onto us, the grizzled fellow added. Okay, Lisa Marie said. So how do we share the new meeting location? I don't trust the messaging on the consortium net. Surely everyone still has external messengers, the skeptical woman next to Smith said. Of course, but the consortium net is always going to be the first node transmitting the message. If we're being paranoid, we need to be properly paranoid. Smith leaned back, a slightly smug expression on his face. There was no chance whatsoever that Bob Smith was the name on his credentials, but Lisa Marie of all people couldn't care about that. After the first few meetings they'd had at the Mars Bar, she'd recognized him as her old Rockline coworker, the one who'd initially told her about the rumor of the consortium selling an outside license. He'd been bang on there, and she figured he was still pretty clued into the current situation on Mars. He'd turned up at the very first meeting she organized, and he'd quickly become her partner in crime. Well, it wasn't technically crime, as far as anyone could tell. The consortium wasn't a government, so they couldn't be committing treason. It wasn't a military structure, so it wasn't insubordination. And it wasn't a sea or space fleet, so they weren't mutineers. The young woman was an administrator, and she said she was sure there wasn't anything in the standard contract which forbid organizing a grievance committee, advocating for other employees, or even unionizing. But they all knew that what they were doing was likely to get them in trouble if it were public knowledge, which was why they were moving their planning meetings to a more secure location. "We'll just have to do it the old-fashioned way," Smith said. "I'll tell two friends, and they'll tell two friends, but quietly." Lisa Marie nodded, and the administrator grinned. She'd never shared a name with the group, not even Sood's like the others. Smith obviously wasn't the only one with paranoid tendencies. "Okay," Lisa Marie said. "Catch you all next time in our new home." Their new home was an underground room made of natural Martian rock that had once been part of the original mine. It was large enough for a boardroom table and a bunch of chairs, and was accessible by walking through the labyrinth of the old mining tunnels. And, as of 2 days from now, it would also be accessible from the storage room of a new cafe that had just opened. The newest habitation domes had been built over the old mine, and the cafe, Normal Bean, was run by one of Smith's pals. Their storage room was right over the dugout, and they'd fitted a trapdoor and ladder as a secondary access. It was the perfect secret location for a quiet meeting of like-minded individuals. Lisa Marie looked around at the empty room, wondering what would come of all of this. It was one thing to get together with a bunch of people in a bar after work, drinking beer and talking shit. It was some next-level business to be planning a clandestine meeting in a literal underground hideout. But she had to give all this cloak-and-dagger routine its due. She was focused. She hardly ever thought about the past at all, and when the memories did come to her, it was easy to push those thoughts away. She didn't think she was cured, but she was doing better again. That 20 minutes of therapy had really helped. She was lucky, though, that she'd had so much success with only the one session. What about everyone else who hadn't been so fortunate? How many people had ordinary issues that didn't even have to do with being on an alien world, but weren't able to get more than 20 minutes of help in a month or longer? This was why they were meeting. It wasn't just having to wait for a larger apartment or more variety in the noodle carts. It wasn't just that the people who worked on Mars deserved to have their contracts met. They deserved more. And there were real-world consequences to not having those obligations met. And it didn't matter on which world they happened to be. Thankfully, the near-infinite exponential progression of information sharing implied by Smith's plan hadn't occurred, but the space was nearly full. Lisa Marie recognized the core group of three as well as Illa from the bar, but there were half a dozen faces she'd never seen before sitting around the table. The door to the old mine opened, and Marvin, the other bartender, walked in with his partner. Lisa Marie arched an eyebrow, but the intention had been to bring in new people. If they had to abandon this meeting space, so be it. But there was no point in driving away anyone who was interested. "Hi, everyone," she said, once 5 minutes had passed beyond the scheduled start time. "I'm guessing you all know that the reason we're meeting is because things have gone wrong on Mars. No one expected it to be easy working here, and I'm not going to deny that we're all being compensated rather well for the work we're doing. But money isn't everything." There were a few murmurs of assent around the table, but also a couple of blank stares. Smith broke in. "Do I think we deserve more than the bare minimum the consortium is obligated to provide? Yeah, I do. I admit that. But let's be real. They aren't even providing that. Sure, there's a decent pizza joint and live hollows, but what about the wait list for housing upgrades? What about your clothing allowance? Has anyone here gotten new threads on time? And stars help you if you need non-urgent medical care," one of the new people Lisa Marie didn't know said. "I'm a doctor, and we just don't have the people. Even when we pull longer shifts, there's more demand than supply. That's not right. Medical care isn't like platinum." "But isn't this just growing pains?" Marvin's partner, the small person with all the tattoos and piercings, piped up from near the door. "I mean, I doubt the consortium wants things to be a shambles, but there's only so much they can do with what we have." A few people nodded, and all eyes turned back to Lisa Marie. "Personally, I don't believe they want this either," she said. "But ultimately, the problem is there's no such thing as the Mars Consortium." A few people obviously scoffed, and an older black woman laughed. "Tell that to the folks building the new admin dome." "Oh, the consortium is real, but it's not a single responsible entity," Lisa Marie went on. "I mean, look. The consortium is a big organization with a lot of moving parts. There are representatives of the corporations who make up the board at the top, then a whole group of high-level executives. Then there's everyone else, all the way down to the people in this room. I'm certain that no one at the housing directorate wants a wait list. The folks working dome construction aren't skiving off or delaying on purpose. I don't even believe that those executives back on Earth are trying to deliberately screw us over. But it doesn't matter whether it's deliberate or not. They are screwing us over. They are more concerned with maximizing yield, making extra money off corporate licenses, than they are with fulfilling their contracts. And that's what I think we should be fighting for." She looked around the room and saw a lot of nodding heads. "In the end, it doesn't matter why things are the way they are," she said. "What matters is what we're going to do about it." You've been listening to Retaking Elysium, a Mars Consortium story, written and read by M. Darusha Wame. For more information, visit darusha.ca. Thanks for listening.